This episode is brought to you by Canadip CBD, a great-tasting, superior alternative to traditional dip using CBD in a way that is radical, enjoyable, and effective. All flavor, no tobacco, and no nicotine pouches are spit-free. It comes in 5 core flavors, wintergreen, mint, citrus, mango, and American spice. It's crafted and manufactured in California, the heart of the cannabis industry. You can find the link to get 20% off in the description of this show.
The Peskin Report is sponsored by High and Happy Catering out of Springfield, Massachusetts. Their chef, Michael Best, can cook anything you want with or without being infused with cannabis. Check out some of what they make on their Instagram at High and Happy Catering or call them at 413-785-8999. You'll be happy you did.
Welcome to the Pesky Report, a podcast for Red Sox fans.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Pesky Report. My name is Brad Chandler, and today we have a special episode where we're going to let fans bitch and rant. So I'm going to go through and let everybody introduce themselves, and we'll get into this. We'll start with you, Jim, and go across.
Yep, Jim in Connecticut.
Addy in Reading, just outside London in the UK.
Tom in Quincy.
I'm Tim in New York.
Sam Fort Myers.
All right, so now that we got everybody letting us know where they're from. I'm also from Connecticut too, Jim. I'm from the Tolland area. So nice to meet you. How many people here are going to be complaining about Bobby Dalbec? How many people here want to complain about the ownership? All right. Addie, because it's wicked late over there, I'm going to let you start off and let you continue to say whatever you want to say, and we'll let you go whenever you feel like it.
All right. So my biggest pet peeve at the moment is the extra inning losses. As someone who stays up until 3:30 a.m., sometimes later watching the games, extra innings are, you know, I'm always torn, especially if it's a case of, like, if the other team is a case of, like, either we tie the game or we get walked off as a loss. I'm like, I want to go to bed. I'm getting tired. I kind of want the game to end, but also obviously don't want a loss. So then I have like a split loyalty. And at the moment, it just seems that it's going to end in a loss anyway. And there's just nothing worse than having stayed up that late and then just ending on a bad result. And I think it's happened 6 times this season already. And I don't think we've won a single extra innings game yet. And so that is just what's killing me. And we have good starting pitching. We keep ourselves in the game until like the 5th inning. And then suddenly it just implodes and the offense aren't scoring anything. The bullpen give it away. And it's just so frustrating. And I hate it. And I'm finding it really hard to keep the motivation to keep staying up for the games. But it's also, my life revolves around it. So I'm just not sure where I stand at the moment.
Yeah, the extra innings losses are absolutely heartbreaking. I feel like anytime it goes into the extra innings, I'm just like, all right, just end it. Just blow the game. I think one of our biggest or our most heartfelt loss, or the one that like hurt the most, I guess, would I think is the one where Sal Morrow was trying to play catch with Verdugo out in Baltimore. You literally had the out right there. That was pathetic. What are everybody else's thoughts on the extra innings and their losses?
It's terrible. I mean, it's just, it's like as soon as you see that it's going to go extra innings, they're like, all right, let's chalk it up with another friggin' loss. Who is it going to be this time? You know, is it going to be Barnes? Is it going to be Sarumora? Is it going to wind up being Brazier? I mean, it's just, you know, it's the gutless bums again.
I get the same feeling as when I see Matt Barnes enter the game. I go, this game is over. As the minute I see a 10 on the scoreboard for the inning, over.
Yeah, I think that's fair. There's not really a reliable arm out there. Strom's looks pretty good, but, you know, can you put him in leverage situations? I'm not sure. I don't know a ton about him. He's looked okay. He's looked better than everyone else out there. The rest of them look like a bunch of stiffs. Barnes is a shell of what he was the first half of last year. And he just looks, I don't know, man. Like you see guys when you get in the pen like that, where it just doesn't work anymore, you know? And for Barnes, in my opinion, it simply doesn't work anymore for him.
Yeah. Barnes has lost a lot of faith in Red Sox Nation. Can't imagine that Cora actually has any faith in him. He's like, all right, we're going to lose this. This is really the last guy I can go to. We're going to throw him out there. I don't know why we would send him out when we have like a 1-1 game going on. Because you're basically going, okay, we're throwing the white flag up. What are your thoughts, Sam?
I think the most frustrating part of the bullpen is that there isn't a clear vision. You have guys coming up from Worcester that look better than the guys we have in Boston. It doesn't make any sense when we see John Schreiber coming up and shoving, and then he goes back to Worcester so Barnes can pitch and blow another save. I just don't get it. It's one of the most frustrating bullpens I can recall.
I think one of the biggest issues that we have is the fact that we didn't get a closer. We don't have a definitive closer. The other thing that really irritates me, I don't know how you guys feel, and you guys can talk about it, but Garrett Whitlock, is he a closer? Is he a middle reliever? Is he a starter? Like, what are we doing? Stop moving him around. I feel like right after he signed that contract, Bloom's like, yes, we got a guy. We're going to start him. I'm not cool with that. Like, I would rather, you know, we argue on the show a couple times about how, like, Garrett Whitlock is a starter. And then, like, we'll argue that we'd rather have him pitch, you know, like 2-3 times a week instead of once every 5 days. So what are your guys' thoughts on the Garrett Whitlock situation?
Yeah, if I could start. You know what? First of all, I think he's a diamond in the rough. I think he probably has a future as a starter. I was all for him to be the closer on this team back in February. I thought they would do a better job having him as the closer and lock down that ninth. If you look at all the championship teams that the Sox have had and the ones that they've actually been in contention, they've always had a strong number one and number two starter, and they've had pretty much a lockdown closer, all the way back to Keith Folk. And I thought this guy could be it. Barnes is definitely not it. I mean, he's lost. He's at 93, 94 in his fastball at best right now. And I think that they're going to worry. And I even talked to Tom and Quincy about this once before. I think that you got to be careful about the fact that they're going to screw with this kid so much, just like Daniel Bard. And look what happened to him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that right now, I think Whitlock's more valuable piece of the puzzle in the bullpen, you know, because – everyone's pissing and moaning about how bad the pen is and that they need help. Well, he is the help, but you have him in the starting rotation and you're only letting him pitch 4 innings anyway. And then you have to go to the other lot of them, you name it, you know, pick a number. They're all the same, you know? So I feel he's far more valuable, and be it closing or, you know, 3-4 innings, whatever the guy can do, the guy is nails wherever he is. Right. So I just feel he's a far more valuable weapon out of a pen. And if you need to fill spot starts or whatever, then bring some kid up from, who was it, Seabold or somebody, someone. But I think that I think there's some crazy number about what their record is since Whitlock made his last relief appearance. And to me, that's not coincidental. He simply locks people down. So if you get guys like, you know, Eovaldi and even Pivetta, they wasted a start on him. He finally pitched well. They wasted a start because the bullpen sucks. So I think that Whitlock, you get the starters to go 4 or 5, then you have Whitlock for 3 or 4, and then you figure out the back end. But if you're letting Whitlock pitch 4 innings You literally have nobody, maybe Strom, but they pulled him after like 9 pitches or something the other day, 11 pitches. So, and then they bring in, you name it, Robles to, you know, Diekman to, there's just no one out there. Defined roles in the bullpen is probably the most important thing. Since I've been watching baseball, everyone knew what they do. Everyone knows what the role is. None of these guys know. Bonds in the 10th inning or bringing Robles in to close, it's a joke. Like, nobody knows when the hell they're actually going to be put in.
It's a box. And Whitlock is
Whitlock's the only valuable piece out there.
It's a box of chocolates every 9th inning.
It's brutal. Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get. I get that. Addie, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, at the moment with Walker out, there's no one else to plug into the starting rotation, I guess. I mean, you mentioned Seabold bringing him up maybe. So it's just there's no one anywhere within. We don't have any pitching depth. And so what's the answer? So, I mean, the other day I had this discussion and I was like firmly in the camp of Whitlock as a starter. But now I'm sort of, you know, there's just no good arms in the bullpen. So, yeah, adding an extra bullpen arm is just, I think that's the priority. And if we can't do anything about it, bringing anyone up or getting someone in from outside, then, yeah, moving Whitlock's the only logical answer, really.
And Tim?
So I have a kind of a funky answer to this. I think if you name Strom as the closer, then Whitlock should remain in the rotation. But since they don't have a set closer, he should be in the bullpen. But I think Strom should be our 9th inning guy because every opportunity he's had, he's been nails and hasn't done like anything terrible like the other arms have. Like, he's our most reliable bullpen guy if you don't include Whitlock and name him as a starter.
I agree with that. How about you, Sam? What are your thoughts?
Oh, man, I'm firmly in the camp that Whitlock should be a starter. Last year, Josh Hader was probably the best closer by far, and he was worth like 3 WAR. Zach Wheeler won a Cy Young, and I strongly believe that Garrett Whitlock can win a Cy Young as a starter, and Wheeler was worth 2 times the WAR that he had. For the future of the Red Sox, and because Whitlock is locked down for 6 more years, we can only use him as a starter going forward, because using him as a reliever, even though it would give us, what, 5 more wins in this past month, I mean, it can give us so many more wins in the future. I just think that a short-term move would be moving him to the bullpen, but the possibility of him being a starter for 6 more years on the contract that he has is just way too enticing to move him to the pen.
See, I'm the person that thinks he should be in the pen this year. If you want to move him to the rotation next year, whatever, do whatever you need to do, but get a piece to replace him. Like, Hauk isn't the type of person that should be in the bullpen. He can't throw a strike when he's a reliever. And watching him you've seen it. He struggles when he comes out of the pen. He comes out and he piggybacks somebody. He's awful. But when he starts a game, he might struggle here and there, but people are swinging at his stuff because it's so nasty. So I'm a firm believer. I think Whitlock should be in the bullpen for at least the rest of this year. The starter, I think they moved him way too quick. He is the best piece in that position. So,
yeah, I agree.
Bobby Dalbec.
Oh, Lord.
All right, Jim, let it rip.
Let me tell you something about Bobby Dalbec. He is the worst first baseman I have ever seen in 40-some-odd years. Okay, this guy can't hit water if he fell out of a boat. I mean, what is he wearing? He's batting like a .157 right now. All this guy does is either strike out or pop out to, you know, pop up in the upright. I can't get over it. The defense alone, that game – I think it was it the Tampa Bay game or the Baltimore game where he's out there at first base and Story was in short right. He doesn't even play the bag correctly. He's on the home plate side of the bag when he should be on the right field side of the bag. He is not good defensively. He is not good offensively. I mean, he can't move runners over even when he's making outs. He strikes out. He had a 3-0 count, I think, in a game yesterday. And then they came back to strike him out. I mean, I'll put a paper bag at first base. I don't care what it is. How much longer can we go with this knucklehead at first base? I hear all the Tristan Casas stuff. I don't think he's ready. They should have gotten Moreland. Ideally, what they should have done in the offseason, they should have gone getting what's his face from the Yankees, a first baseman.
Anthony Rizzo.
Yep, Rizzo. They should have signed Suzuki for right field, and they should have re-signed Iglesias for second base. That's what they should have done.
I disagree on the Rizzo thing, and I'll get to that when it's my turn. Addy?
Yeah, he's just terrible. And I don't think Cassis is ready. I don't think it's time to bring him up. But it's painful to watch him sometimes. And anytime the ball goes near him, it's hit or miss. And you get great plays from Xander and Trevor Story, and you don't know if he's going to catch him at the other end. Like, offensively, it's just an automatic out. Personally, I'd have been all for keeping Kyle Schwarber. I think I loved him as a player, and I think he would have been a good presence in the clubhouse as well. But yeah, he's just terrible. He's just a low point in the game right now.
How bad do you have to be for Franchi to take over your position? Tom.
Yeah, it's funny because with a team like the Red Sox and the money that they spend and the talent that they can acquire, to have that situation at first base and be like historically poor productively at that position for going on 2 years now is simply disgusting to me. Bobby Dalbec doesn't belong on a Major League Baseball field. He's not a professional baseball player. He could be in Kansas City or Tampa or Minnesota.
Let's not forget that minor leaguers are still professionals.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about Major League Baseball player. Major League Baseball. Sorry for the term. Simply doesn't belong playing every day first base for the Boston Red Sox, plain and simple. You know, most guys, if you can't hit, you can field. You know, this guy, he can't do either. You know, and they're using him the wrong way. Like, was it twice this week they had hit and runs with him at the plate? I'm like, he makes no contact. What are you doing? And what are you sending Vasquez, of all people? So, confused why he's here. I'm confused where people ripped Schwarber for his defense. Don't rip Dalbec on his when Schwarber can at least hit. Dalbec cannot hit at all. He had the sick couple months at the end of the season last year. He's right back to what he was going up to that. And to have him in the lineup every day, simply unacceptable to anybody that actually wants to watch that team play. He's awful.
Tim?
I just have a quick question. What would you guys consider a .229 career average?
Crap.
With a .767 OPS.
Well, it's got
from a first baseman.
But you're talking about Bobby, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to get into him too hard because he is a major league player, so obviously he's got talent. But
according to Tom, he's not.
I'm not mocking his ability per se. I'm mocking the fact that he plays on this team.
But I agree with Tom. He should not be a first baseman for the Boston Red Sox. It's embarrassing for a historical organization to be throwing out a guy like that. And I think by next week, Franchi should be the full-time first baseman.
Oh, my God. Tom's saying no on that one.
Well, no, it's so effing sad that's the choice.
They tried it last year. Why else would it's good now?
Franchi has struck out two times so far since he's been up. So that's
and he's
way
got
better.
He's got two hits. He's doing better than Bobby Dalbec.
He's doing better than Bobby, and he's doing better than Travis Shaw did. Sam,
that's a pretty low bar, though.
It is.
Sam, your thoughts?
I love Bobby Dalbec. I was a Bobby Dalbec believer. but holy shit, he is so bad right now. I don't know what point it gets to Bobby being Bobby and not being able to hit, and the rest of the team not being able to hit. We have three guys who are hitting above major league average. It's not all Bobby. It has to be on Peter Fatsy. But good God, I cannot wait for Tristan Casas to be up in a month. That dude rakes. He hits monster home runs. Hopefully he can work with the coaching staff and he'll be good here. But just the ability from Casas is so superior to Bobby.
I have a question real quick about Casas.
Yeah.
Is this a service time situation with him?
I don't think
it is. You know how they love to play that game?
I don't think that is, because, first of all, Casas has only had like 110 games above single A, and he's hitting like 240 something or 250 something. So he's still, you know, while he's hitting better in triple A than Bobby is in MLB, he's still struggling. You know, my whole thing with the Casas thing is let's let him figure out triple A first, because he's only been in triple A. He was in triple A for a week last year, and he's been up there, been in triple A since the beginning of the season. So it's not like he's had a lot of time there. So let's let him adjust to that before we try to pull him up into Boston. And I don't think he's the answer this year. Our team is just we're so shitty right now. You don't want to put that type of stress on a prospect like that. You want him to succeed. You don't want him to come up and be like, oh, you have to be the savior, because that's just going to put way too much pressure on him.
Call him up when we're not slumping.
Yeah, I was just curious. That's all.
I think it was an Alex Speer report that said when Bobby was struggling and they were considering pulling up Franchi, Casas was never an option. They don't think he's ready, and probably not for at least a month or two.
Okay.
I don't see him getting pulled up until like the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Late fall.
I would say so. Yeah.
Sometimes. All right. So we got Face the Facts.
So I'm Nick. Hey, everybody.
What's your name?
I'm Nick. Nice to meet you.
Nick. All right. So we're talking about Bobby here and we're bitching about him. So what are your thoughts on Bobby and what's been going on with him this season? That's exactly what this is. That's what this is. This is a bitch fest.
I am actually shocked that he's still getting in the lineup pretty much every day. I'm stunned. I'm stunned. And I know Franchi hasn't done much to prove really anything after what we saw from last season. But at some point, you got to say, what does like Dahlbeck have pitchers of Cora or something? Because, I mean, seeing him getting in the lineup every day it's a disgrace.
He's useless.
He can't even field. And then they wanted to defend the other night that they put him in. What was it, Sunday's game? That they said that they were going to put him in for defensive replacements over Franchi? Yeah. Are you shitting me?
Didn't they end up putting – so I didn't get to watch the last two games. Didn't they put Christian Arroyo in at first for one of the games as a defensive replacement?
I think they did at one point, yep. But I think that they're scared to death he's gonna tweak his hammy or whatever he did before from overstretching.
It's going to blow his finger
down. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. All right, so who mentioned Fatsy?
I did.
All right, so while I kind of agree with you, Tim Hyers isn't doing all that great with out in Texas right now. He was struggling, or the team's struggling, kind of. I still think that Hyers would have been a better answer than Fatsy. If Fatsy was part of the team last year, he was the hitting coach assistant or whatever it was. So. I mean, he has the pedigree, but obviously, you know, it's not showing.
Yeah, Tim Hyers has helped Marcus Semien drop his average to 185. So
I saw that. Yep, I saw that.
So it's an issue. What else do we want to bitch about? Do we want to bitch about the ownership
and the fact that there's something? And I don't know if you guys are really big into it, but I'm very friendly with Don Orsillo, and I just think that
we all love Donnie.
What happened a couple weeks back where they just completely intentionally left that video out for Remy? I mean, I've still been rip shit about it. Just absolutely rip shit. I think it was one of the most disrespectful, classless things that they could have done at the organization. They just screw up all these PR things left and right. They never learn from their mistakes. They never cater to us fans that want You know, just respect. Just respect. I mean, I was stunned. Stunned that just it kind of just went away and no one's talking about it anymore. You know, Don was in tears. Tears that they did that to him.
Yeah.
Deservedly so.
I was a little pissed off. I know that there were a lot of fans out there that were pissed off. Hey, Addy, how long have you been watching the Red Sox?
Well, I've been watching the game since 2013 when I started university. But before that, I used to, you know, the game day live on MLB. I'd watch the pitches come up on a Sunday afternoon when I was still at school. And so, like, it doesn't count as watching the games, but it kind of, it was the closest I could get at the time before MLB TV got over here. So, yeah, since about 2013.
So you were watching the games when Donnie was still around, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you completely understand the whole, like, the love for Don.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and he was so much better than
Dave O'Brien. Is atrocious. I don't know.
I call him Bedtime Dave. Like, bedtime, I don't, magic guy.
Like, I don't know if you guys actually listen to these shows and whatnot.
Yep.
But I have shit on Dave O'Brien probably every chance I get. I can't stand him. He is possibly the worst announcer I have ever heard. When Tom Warner, I found out that Tom Warner said that Dave O'Brien was going to be an upgrade from Don Orsillo.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And when I found that out, I was like, bro, literally go fuck yourself. There's no way you can be serious about that.
A ball and two strikes.
Yeah.
He's got here comes the no hitter.
The only
the only
thing
going, everybody,
that saved Dave O'Brien was Jerry Remy and Eckersley.
No question.
No question about it.
Can we just get like a trio of Monaco, Ack, and Uke?
I'm down for
that. Monaco, yeah.
Love Monaco.
Monaco's good.
He's great. Very likable.
Let me tell you something. Dennis Eckersley is the elixir for, you know, Jerry Remy not being there. If it wasn't for the Eck, oh my God! I don't know how I could make it through a game sometimes.
I don't. Did you guys listen to the Apple broadcast?
Oh my God! That was I muted it.
Nope.
I fell asleep, I'm not going down that road.
I refuse. I'm not going down that road.
Nope. I cannot recall a time where the announcers confused two players as dissimilar as Rafael Devers and Trevor Story. How do you mess them up? I do not understand.
Was that you that posted that the other night on Twitter? I did. And I was like, oh, the resemblance is uncanny. So, you know. You know?
Rafael Devers and... what was she?
She was like looking in a mirror.
She was calling Evaldi, EO Valdi or something like that.
Twins.
It was a bad broadcast. I threw on WEEI and I listened to it on a delay, but that was terrible. I didn't even watch the Peacock broadcast. Did anybody watch that?
No. Yeah, I watched it on NBC 10.
Was it better awful. Or worse?
It was awful.
They had Uke in the booth, which wasn't bad. They had Steve Stone was one. And then some guy, I legit forget his name, Benetti or something like that. He wasn't very impressive, but, you know, I've never heard Steve Stone do color in a game before, and I could do without it again probably. but Uke was okay just because it was a Boston game, you know. But yeah, I don't know who the hell that guy was, and the guy that was the main color dude. I mean, the analyst or whatever. So, yeah, it wasn't impressive. Wasn't impressive.
What are our thoughts on Tony Maserati?
The Maz.
I think he's pretty good.
I think it's so weird. Like, I was listening to Felger and Maz a little bit today on the way home. It's got to be one of the first times where the Red Sox have had some negativity from, like, a sports radio show, have a guy come in and broadcast the game. Like, Maz was out there blasting Dahlbeck and a few of the other ones. This team's terrible, yada, yada. I don't think we've ever seen that.
No, I don't think any team's really had that.
No. So
bringing a guy.
It's kind of like a breath of fresh air. It's hard to say that that's Jerry Remy and that's Tony Maz that's replacing him, but. It's interesting. I'll put it that way. It's
Addy, what are your thoughts on Tony?
So as someone who never played it, like I assume you guys all played like it in school and things, someone who never had that, I like having the players, like past players in the booth. I think it just adds that element of the game of like, you know, some of the players because they've lived it. And I've never, because we don't get any of the other sort of Tony Maserati stuff, so I wasn't really familiar with him beforehand. I think he's good. He has some good insights. I don't hate him, but I think I prefer Yuke.
Yeah, I would take Yuke over Maz any day. What about you, Sam?
I think that Yuke is probably the best thing to happen in a few years. I like Ek a lot. I cannot stand Maserati. I his voice, for some reason, just is so off-putting to me.
I have to admit, before this season, I was completely, when they announced that Tony was going to be doing the broadcast, I was like, man, they're going to lose a ton of viewers over this. And a lot of the guys and girls that are on our show are anti-Maz. And we gave a chance. We listened through spring training, got our bitching out about it. You know, the nasally, like him talking and whatnot. But I have to admit, he is not nearly as bad as I thought he was going to be. I mean, I'm not going to go and listen to Felger and Maz. That's not going to happen. I actually, I've listened to maybe like one or two of Maz and Carrabas.
Baseball
reporters.
Yeah, yeah, I think they do that on Tuesdays or something like that. Yeah. So I'll listen to that because I'm a huge Carrabas fan.
Yeah.
And I just want to see how that matches up. But like, you would think that they'd hate each other, and they're like great friends, and it's just weird. So Tim, you wanted to talk about right field, Jackie Bradley Jr.
Oh. I did.
I could have sworn you said let's talk about right field.
I mentioned it.
Jim, you mentioned it. Go ahead and start us off.
Okay, let me explain something. Of recent history, the happiest day as a Red Sox fan I had was Jackie Bradley Jr.'s last game in a Red Sox uniform. Okay? And over the winter time, I was socked in the nose by them trading and getting that stiff back. Okay? This guy is absolutely next to Dahl. I don't know who's worse, him or Dahlback. It must just be a toss of a coin. Yeah, okay, his defense is okay.
What?
But I'm so tired of him with his strikeouts and his groundouts to second base. He is god awful. And for a team that spends $240 million on their payroll, that's the best they can do, is absolutely absurd. He is terrible. Yeah, okay. He's lights out. And I think a couple of years ago, he couldn't make an out for like a month in July. And he's having a decent May and end of April at home. But this guy is just ridiculous. I mean, last year with Milwaukee, he was absolutely the worst hitter on a major league franchise.
Addy?
I am a Jackie Bradley Jr. fan. I know he strikes out, but I made this point to someone the other day, but we knew that he strikes out. We know that he doesn't hit. Let's improve our defense, which he undoubtedly does out in the outfield. And I mean, he's hitting better than we expected. And to be honest, it's because that was a really low bar, but he's doing better than expected. And I think he's got the fifth highest OBP on the team, which if you look at the lineup and the projected stats, that's crazy that he's that high. So I am still on board for Jackie Bradley Jr. train. I'm a fan.
Let's go with you, Tom.
I echo Jim's sentiment on Jackie Bradley Jr. When he finally was out of here, because I had been calling for it for years, and he still kept kicking around and kicking around and kicking around. He finally goes to Milwaukee, and they fucking bring him back. I couldn't believe it. I had friends texting me because I thought it was a joke. And they're like, no, they traded Renfroe for him. I'm like, I get the defensive aspect of it. I mean, he's a phenomenal defensive player. I get that. And if you're going to bury him in the bottom of the lineup and he can bat his 140 or whatever the hell he's at right now, and have a great glove and make his highlight grabs like people love to see and it turns him on, that's fine. when everyone else in the lineup can fucking actually hit. So when everyone else in the lineup can't hit and you have him in there for 70-80% of the starting lineups, that becomes a bigger problem than just burying him in the nine hole. There's been a few games in the past couple weeks they had him batting fifth because everyone else has sucked so bad beyond Devers, Bogarts, and Martinez that now they have to rationalize playing him more because they say for defensive purposes. Defensive, if he was a fourth outfielder, so be it. Almost every day, not a chance. No way in hell. I couldn't believe they brought him back. I don't want him here now. If they could send him out of here tomorrow, I would have throw an effing parade.
He wouldn't bat fifth on the Reds.
What's that?
He wouldn't bat fifth on the Reds. Right.
And that's the problem. That's what I'm saying. Like they overvalue so many players that come through here sometimes. It's like Bradley's been overvalued since he got here. Initially got here. And is again, defensively, I totally understand it. He can't fucking hit. He can't hit. Last year was a historically bad season for a player with that many plate appearances. He's batting worse than that now. So
no, he's not.
Oh, he isn't?
He's hitting 202.
I didn't even know he was over 200. My bad.
Yeah, batting title.
Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Seriously, fantastic. Give him a belt.
Red Sox legend.
But I just don't understand. It's like they lack so much productivity at right and first and second that is like it's the entire right side of the field.
And
like,
catcher.
And catcher. Again, another position you wouldn't give a shit about if anyone else was hitting. But now they have first base can't hit, second base can't hit, right field can't hit, catcher can't hit, center field can't hit. And now left can't hit. What are we doing here with the Dahlbecks and the Bradleys and the Arroyos and all these people? It's like, can you please, for the love of God, starting quality players for a team like this? A legitimate first baseman, a legitimate right fielder, a legitimate second baseman, not signing free agent that played short his whole career to put him at second base because you're trying to fuck over Bogarts, and then you're doing this, and you're moving all these pieces, and you're putting Arroyo in right, who's never played right because he's a career infielder, but now we'll put him at first. Like, dude, find the effing players to play the position that you need help at.
We have two second basemen playing the outfield. We have two second basemen playing the outfield.
So I remember that I wanted to talk about something. Jim, you mentioned signing Rizzo. I don't think signing Rizzo would have been a good idea because, you know, we got Casas who's coming up. So if you sign Rizzo, he's not going to play for 1 year. He's going to want a multi-year deal.
Yeah, but Brad, he signed a 2-year deal with the Yankees. You could have done 2 years and you could have traded him next July.
I don't think that would have happened. But I mean, that's my opinion. But then you also have two lefties who are playing first base. You'd have Casas and Rizzo. So I don't feel like that would have worked. It's good to have the bat. I mean, I think the bat would have been great to have.
You got the glove too, Brad.
I get that, but again, you're gonna have two lefties when you have Casas come up.
Brad, I have a question though. Say if Casas didn't come up this year and he only came up on the second year of Rizzo's deal and we lose JD, what if you have Casas DH?
I don't think
because Rizzo's glove is better.
I don't think I think they'd have probably Rizzo DH, or I don't know. They probably have Casas play third a couple times and then have Braffy DH. It's all what ifs. Obviously, Rizzo's on the Yankees and that's
we have Bobby D.
Yeah, and we have Bobby D. Tim, your thoughts on JBJ?
Well, I love JBJ personally, just because of what he brings with the glove. And like you guys were saying, he's not supposed to be one of our better hitters. It's just that our better hitters aren't performing, except coincidentally, the two guys who are basically on their way out of here with their contracts currently sitting how they are. So that's pretty much where I stand. Like, I don't have any issues with JBJ. I have no bitching to do about him.
Sam?
I mean, if you look at the roster, JBJ, if he hits another double, he's batting the fourth best on the team. I mean, we're hitting pathetically. We can talk all day about what would happen if Hunter Renfro was here. Jackie Bradley Jr. is worth double the war Renfro is just on defense alone. And I think that if Renfro was here, he would be hitting just as shitty as the rest of the lineup. So how much better do you think Renfro would be in this Red Sox lineup than JBJ is? I don't think it's that big.
Nick?
Yeah, I've never really been a big JBJ guy. I love the glove. I'm not going to take that away from him. The defense, the arm, spectacular. But I would have thought that they had learned their lesson, you know, just after when he was signed with Milwaukee. I mean, kind of exactly what Jim said. It was a kick on the balls when you heard that news. It's like, what? He's back? And then they give up Renfro. I think the biggest struggle that people are still having with it is you really didn't replace Renfro's production from last season. You know, 20, what did he have? 25, almost 30 home runs, almost 100.
He had 31, I think.
30.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had 30.
The numbers that they put up, I think they were banking on that being just a really awesome season. And I think that they traded him thinking that that wasn't going to happen again. Maybe it won't. But I think the big thing for them with getting Bradley back was the stability in the outfield. You know, the defense was, you know, very lackful, you know, last season. I know they had all the assists and everything that was out there, but they definitely needed the glove. But to not replace that power hitting right-handed bat is, I think, the Achilles heel on the whole matter here. You know, he's hitting about average of what was expected, I guess, right now. And it's kind of embarrassing in a way that, you know, he's top five in the team with how he's looking for hitting and everything. So I don't think he's the biggest
disappointment,
the biggest bitching on the list of the matter for the rest of them. You know, I think there's others that deserve more.
So Bradley, it wasn't straight up Bradley for
the prospects. Yeah, the prospects.
Yeah, it was the Benellis kid or whatever.
What it really boiled down to is, is that it was Benellis, who is I believe he's low A, and then you've got Hamilton, who's in double A right now, who's fucking killing it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was basically Bloom called the Brewers and were like, hey, we're interested in these guys. What about Renfro for these guys? And they're like, yeah, we're going to package up Bradley with this. So it's basically like we kind of got the shit end of the stick getting Bradley back. I hear everybody when it comes to the batting. I was completely shocked too. It wasn't a kick of the balls to me. I've always been a Bradley fan simply because his name's Bradley. My name's Bradley. So, I mean, kind of have the connection there. I get it. I don't like it. I wasn't the biggest fan of it. Kike Hernandez, he's been abysmal as well. He's been hitting like shit. If foul balls were home runs, he'd be hitting 100 right now. He can't hit a ball fair to save his life. Jen, thoughts?
He had a good year last year, okay? I think more than people expected, but I'm concerned that he is a platoon-type player. He's not an everyday player. His defense is good in center field. I like Kike Hernandez, I got to be honest with you, but he's not hitting. And I really have a problem, kind of segue this a little bit, with them changing up the lineup a lot, because here you had him – And baseball players are creatures of habit. Like Tom was saying before, you got to kind of know what your job is and have that all the time. And when you start moving guys around, I get, you know, you struggle, you bring a guy down, this and that. We took him out of the leadoff spot, threw him in sixth or seventh, brought Story up. That's not going to put a lot of confidence in some of these guys.
In fairness, they did do the exact same thing last year, and that lit a fire under his ass.
Yeah, and it is true. I just think that, you know, everything is so is brought so large with everybody not contributing. You've got five guys on this team that are batting under 200, and the reality is that everything is intensified because you're getting shut out for 5 innings, 6 innings, 7 innings. You score a run or two, and then it's the bullpen that's letting us down on the back end. I mean, you've got – what's the starting rotation ERA right now? Like 160? I mean, it's unbelievable that it could be that good. And it's just we're not scoring runs. And, you know, it's not just Kike's fault. I mean, the guy's definitely struggling. There's no doubt there. I'm a fan of his. I like his. I like his bat. It's just, you know, he's just – he's adding to the minutia of garbage that's going on right now offensively.
Starting pitching right now is ranked 8th in ERA. Addy.
I agree with pretty much everything Jim just said. I think I like Kike. I think I'm not ready to give up on him yet. I'm not ready to let any other team have him yet. But I think it's unfair to pick on any one player because they're all just doing absolutely shockingly. And that's the issue, is that they're all just not performing at the same time. And I mean, I did just see a stat that we're the only team with three players hitting over 290, which is crazy. And it's just, I think the issue is that the offense is just too top heavy and we're too reliant on those same three guys. So it just needs like a couple of the others to pick up the slack. Like Trevor Story is a bigger pet peeve for me than Kike, to be honest. So they just need like two or three of the other guys to actually start doing their jobs. And then I think we'll be fine. But yeah, I'm not ready to give up on Kike yet.
And Tom?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I'm a fan of Kike Hernandez, but I feel like kind of similar to what Jim said about he's more of a platoon type player, even though his season last year was pretty impressive. He's a good outfielder, too. But yeah, he can get a hold of one every now and again. None of them are getting a hold of anything right now. So there's a laundry list of concerns with the lineup, and Kike is just one of them. So, you know, I mean, overall, I feel more confident about him coming around than I do with Bradley starting to hit or Dahlbeck starting to hit. So I have a little more faith in Kike Hernandez than maybe some people do. But, you know, like I said, when 6 of 9 on hitting, you know, it's tough to just focus on the one guy. But I feel that Kike is not as drastic as Dahlbeck and Jackie Bradley Jr.
Tim.
I kind of got a mix of what, like, you, Brad, and what Tom said, where, like, anything Enrique hits is a foul ball. And then he's one of the guys that I have, like, the most faith in turning it around. Him and Trevor Story I'm not too worried about yet, but I've lost all faith in Bobby, like we've already talked about. But Enrique, he's a good center fielder, so, like, I don't know, you got to keep him out there and just let him – get through the slump.
Sam?
So the most common saying in Wall Street is you don't, once you hear Shoeshine giving you tips, get the hell out of the market. I don't know how many times I've heard on the broadcast that Kike is a fastball hitter, but now I see him getting nothing but breaking balls in 0-2 counts, 1-2 counts, and he can't hit it. I think he's probably been the worst loser with Hires leaving and Fatsy coming in because he just cannot hit shit anymore. He can't hit fastballs. He can't hit breaking balls. It's very frustrating to watch because we know the potential is there.
Nick?
And just to go off what you were saying, Sam, how much do you guys think that Tim Hires' loss, you know, not being with the team, has impacted this lineup?
So we actually kind of talked about
that. Oh, did you talk about that before I came in?
Yeah. Tim, what was the average that he
he's got Marcus Semien at a career low average at 185
with no home runs. I remember you saying that. Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, I personally don't really think it's that much of a loss because the Rangers aren't hitting either.
I mean, I always looked at JD Martinez as one of the guys that helped a lot of these guys get out of the funks with the iPads and everything he's doing there. So I'm wondering if any of that is going on behind the scenes. You know, JD hitting coach in a way.
After the 4-strikeout game, I know he went to the cage with Trevor Story.
I can only imagine. Yeah.
Yeah, he took Trevor Story to the cage.
Yep. For me on Kike, I like the guy. I think he's a spark plug, especially when he's going right. I think that he was one of the big reasons why last season's team ended up being, you know, in the playoffs and had such a good, you know, a surprise run in a way. Usually he's a slow starter. Usually. I think last season was one of his first times ever being, you know, a starter coming into the team. He's always a bench player or a reserve player. I'm not giving up on him. I think that he'll figure it out and he'll get going. And I like what he has to the team.
I agree with a lot of what everybody has been saying. Kike, like I said, like everybody's been saying, I'm not willing to like just give up on him. I know it's the last year of his contract. I'd love to see him come back, but I'd also like to see him hit a ball. I'd like to see what he was doing in the postseason as well. But we all know the dead ball is a thing right now. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to just do like a quick like, let's bitch about whatever, and let's talk good. What's good about this team? And I'll start with you, Jim, and then we'll just end with me.
Well, I think if you want to talk about what's good about this team, you got to talk about the starting rotation. I think it's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, Nathan Eovaldi has been pretty much lights out the entire season. He's striking out, I think, I don't have the numbers in front of me, I think he's striking out more people than he has in the past. He's learned to pitch a lot better than he's had years ago. And I think, you know, all the Tommy John surgeries and, you know, the other things that he's had surgically are really behind him now. And, I mean, I know some radio guys like Tony Maserati had said that was a bad signing when he was signed to that $17 million contract. I think it's going to come back and say it was a good signing. So I like Eovaldi. I think he's pretty good at the one or two spot. Rich Hill's been a pleasant surprise. He's had a couple different outings that were a little poor, but he's just coming off, I think, a shutout, four or five innings. Waka's been incredible considering that an ERA over five the last couple seasons. I do remember reading a report that they worked on getting his fastball to come down more over the plate, and I think that might be the reason why he's having a little more success like he did when he was with the Cardinals. You know, what we're going to do with Whitlock, I don't know, but you got to see him. I mean, he had a perfect game, I think, through four or five innings the other night. So I think the rotation has been very, very good. We get Chris Sale back. We get Paxton back. Move some of these guys around. I think that's good. The problem is that when those guys come back, I think it's going to be a little too late to compete in this division. And that's why I'm a firm believer we're going to see a big fire sale come July. You know, the bullpen's been bad. The starting rotation's been good. And the offense has been bad. So kudos to the rotation. If anything is going well, that's what's going well.
Does the 8 home runs that Eovaldi has given up so far been a concern?
Well, I mean, one of them has been – he's made a couple mistakes. A couple of them were solo shots. He's not walking people, so you don't have to worry about getting 2 or 3-run shots. His ERA is still, what, 3.50, something like that?
2.94.
So there you go. It's been very, very good. I mean, you know what? You're going to make a mistake to a good hitter here and there. But you know what? He's not putting a lot of people on base and then giving up 2 or 3-run bombs. And I think that's the important thing there. And that's why he's been very good.
Yeah, he gave up 15 home runs all year last year. He's already given up more than half of his home runs last year. Addy?
I was going to say Xander Bogaerts has been a highlight. You know, he's having an excellent year, a contract year. He's showing he's doing his best to convince ownership to keep him. He's really putting his case forwards. And so, yeah, he's one of the few people on the team that's hitting. He's, you know, stepping up when it comes to the media, putting himself forward as like the guy to talk to you. He's a leadership guy, and I think defensively he's been excellent as well. A couple of bloopers, but yeah, overall he's been excellent defensively as well. So I think he's really I think he's having a career season, to be honest. Or he's on track to. It's just a shame he's not got any support from the rest of the lineup.
Tom?
Yeah, I would say the things that I've been, you know, not surprised about, because it seems like he does it every year, is Xander Bogaerts, which infuriates me that they're putting him in the situation that they put him in. But so, yeah, my highlights so far, Michael Waka, Bogaerts, and Devers. Martinez to a degree. But to me, other than those 3 or 4 players, nothing else is good. And I don't know how you go about. I mean, there's no way that they're going to hit like this all season. There's just no way. I mean, 6 of 9 can't suck like this for the rest of the season. No. So you got to figure they're going to hit. And if the starting rotation, yeah, at some point. But if the starting rotation can continue to do what they've been doing, because they've been pretty solid all season. They've had a couple hiccups here and there, but no one's going to pitch a gem every night. But if you get no support out of a starting lineup, and you're reliant on three guys every single day, you're in trouble. And the Trevor Story situation is a major concern. Again, he's a professional hitter. You would think that he's going to come around, but you've seen this happen with some guys that come here. You know, they sign free agent. They come from a town that there's not a lot of pressure on you. The media's not up your ass. And, you know, we're a month in the season and he's getting booed off the field. That's not a good look when he's here for 6 years, especially when he's here to supposedly replace Bogaerts in short. So I would say Bogaerts, Devers, Walker, everyone else kind of just falls to the side, in my opinion.
Tim?
Tom, to your point about Story getting booed off the field, you got to remember when Stan first went to New York, the same kind of thing was happening to him. He wasn't hitting that well, and he figured it out. So I think Story will figure it out. I don't expect him to hit as high of an average as he had at Coors, but I do think he will come around. But my bright spot is actually just one player, and that's Matt Strom out of the bullpen. He's 1-1 with a 2.7 ERA, and like I said earlier, I think he should be the closer.
Interesting. Sam?
All right, my high point is the beautiful, beautiful man that is currently my profile picture, Michael Wacha. If you told me that going into the season, Michael Wacha would have a sub 1.5 ERA, I would have laughed you out of the building. But it's clear that this guy has stuff. He had stuff once he dropped his cutter last year. And once you know when the Rays and the Red Sox are in and on a guy and Chaim Bloom sees a guy, he's a guy. And Wacha clearly has shown up until this point that he can pitch. Now, my low thing is John Heyman and everyone who believes that moron. Please stop listening to his horrible articles, horrible writing. He is copy and pasting Scott Boras's emails. Stop listening to the moron.
There's more morons than just Heyman, though. You got Dan Shaughnessy.
Oh, they're everywhere. Nightingale.
There's another one.
We don't call him Nightingale. We call him Boob. That's Boob. Boob. Yeah.
I'll make a note.
Nick, your highs and lows.
I definitely have to put Whitlock atop. I just think it's a struggle for this team right now wherever he's got to fit. I like him better long-term as a starter, but right now this team, in order to compete and to have stability, he's got to go into the bullpen in some sort of role. That's just my thought, my take on it. I got to say, one of my biggest players that I have absolutely no idea why this guy's even still here, and I don't know if we talked about it earlier before I came in. Why is Matt Barnes still on this team?
He was mentioned.
Shoot him to the moon.
I got blocked by him in 2016 from a nice tweet that I said, I hope you enjoy all the trash getting thrown at you, you jackass, before you I was at the game or something. And he blocked me instantly, you know. But I just said, what a soft individual way back then. And he's still here. And they gave him that contract. It's a star.
Yeah, that contract's definitely coming back to bite us. So I have a couple things that I want to end up on. My bright star so far has been Rafael Devers. The fact his defense has just been so good this year. He's made one error, and it wasn't even really that bad of an error. I think it could have been something that Franchi could have caught, but they ended up hitting Devers with an error. But, I mean, we're what, like 30 games in? One error? I'm okay with it. Almost 30 games in? Whatever. Matt Barnes, I'm with everybody here. Shoot him to the moon. That contract was, I think it was too soon. Another contract that I think was too soon was Chris Sale. I think that they should have waited on that. I don't know if anybody's looked into this before, but he's a free agent as of 2025, and we don't pay him until 2035, and we owe him $50 million deferred. I don't like that contract. I hate it. I was a huge, yes, we got Chris Sale. And then when they signed him, I was like, why? Why are we extending him? He still got like an extra year on him. He broke down in 2018. Why didn't we just wait? Yeah, so that's probably my low point here. Sale can't stay healthy. I'm shocked nobody has mentioned Verdugo. That was a kind of a shock. But I think Verdugo will actually be able to pick it up and be his normal self. So does anybody else have anything else that they would like to add before we end?
I will just say one thing. It's tough getting to, you know, May 8th, I think it was yesterday when I tweeted this, and having a legitimate fear that the season is over. And because I still have 133 more games I have to sit through. So it's discouraging. It's disheartening. It makes my stomach hurt that thinking that they aren't going to get out of this hole that they're in. Like I said, the saving grace I feel is the starting rotation has pitched well. So I'm praying to God. Praying to the fucking gods, man, that this season they salvage something, because I can't sit through going through the summer when they're already 10 out and it looks like it could get worse. So for the love of God, I just pray that they get their shit together, start hitting, keep pitching, and climb out of the cellar that they're in.
So I'll give everybody a little bit of good news. FanGraphs, I don't know if you guys use that at all, but FanGraphs has the Red Sox at a 19.6% chance making the playoffs, even in the slump that they're in. And the Orioles are at 0.1%, even though that they are in fourth and the Red Sox are in last.
I'll tell you what, being leapfrogged by the Orioles made me want to vomit.
Yeah, I was not happy that we ended up losing the series. I was talking so much shit about how the Yankees lost the series to the Orioles, and then here we are just throwing it away.
Scary part about the Orioles is they're going to have Adley Rutschman soon and Grayson Rodriguez, so they're really going to start stealing games from teams.
Yeah, I don't even know those guys, but I'll tell you one thing.
They're top two prospects.
Cool. You know, but the problem is that, you know, FanGraphs 19 point whatever. Look, you've got talent on this team. You were two wins, and quite frankly, they could have gone to the World Series last year. You know, you've got the talent. Every area except for first base, and I'm going to continue with that, and right field has talent. All right? So, I mean, they do have the talent to move forward and be able to be okay. But, you know, a lot of talk show guys say the same thing. You know, you can lose it. You can lose a season in April, but you can't win it. And I'm really concerned that, you know, that clock is ticking on their season. And if they don't fix their shit quick, and I mean real quick, like rattle off six or eight in a row, you're going to see, I'm telling you right now, you're going to see a fire sale in July, the likes you've never seen before. And I'm telling you, it's going to be Kike, it's going to be Bradley, it's going to be Bogarts, it's going to be Arroyo, it's going to be Vasquez, it's going to be Eovaldi. You're going to see a huge fire sale.
I don't think anybody's going to want Bradley and that contract, because he's owed $12 million next year. So, I mean, I'm a Bradley fan, but nobody's going to take that contract. So I'm okay. I think they have to play over 500 baseball just to make 90 wins.
Yeah.
And we know how hard that is. So they have to win every other game. And right now, I don't know if, Addy, were you just laughing or yawning?
Yawning. Sorry, it's gone midnight here now.
Hey, you can go if you'd like. It's okay. But it's going to be hard. I mean, we've got that extra spot in the for the playoffs. So I don't know if we'll make it. if we keep playing like this, there's no way we're going to make it. And like Jim said, if they keep playing the way they're playing, we're going to end up seeing a bunch of players shipped off. So, all right. I want to thank every one of you for coming on. Addy, especially, because it's so late. It was very nice to meet you. It's been nice to talk to all of you. And hopefully, you know, we don't have to do this again. I just saw so much bitching on Twitter and Facebook. I'm like, you know what? I don't know if anybody else is doing this. So let's try and do a bitch session. And I'm glad we were able to do that. Does anybody else have anything else that they want to add before we end?
Don't tweet at Christian Vasquez's wife or Catherine Veritek.
Just go. I love Catherine. I love Catherine.
I didn't tweet it, so when I said Christian Vasquez needs to be taken out and bring Doug Mirabelli back or something like that around that, I got a whole mouthful from her. So just be careful.
Well, her husband's a catcher, and she probably takes offense to that.
She does.
Addie, why don't you go ahead and let everybody know where you are? Plug your podcast as well. I want to be able to do something like this again with you guys.
Sure. Yeah, that would be great. So I contribute to a podcast we call Beantown Bricks. So you can find us at UK Red Sox Fans on Twitter, or you can access the podcast via ukredsoxfans.com. We're really trying to increase our following, and baseball's growing in the UK at a really fast rate. So we're just trying to get the word out there. So yeah, please do go and give us a follow.
Yeah, I try to retweet almost everything that you guys share, especially when it comes to needing followers. So everybody, thanks so much for joining. Thanks for bitching. Thanks for ranting. I hope this was like a therapy session. I hope it makes you feel a little bit better.
Especially on a Monday.
Yeah, especially on a Monday. Absolutely. It's a good thing that they're not playing today because they can't upset us.
No, they can't.
Can't lose today.
No, but the Celtics upset me today.
I don't know who that is. All right. Thanks for coming on, guys.
All right, guys. Thanks, you.
Brett. Take care.
Thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Pesky Report. Make sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.